I invite your attention for the next message to the book of Philemon. And Walter, if you don't know where that's at, it's after Titus and before Hebrews. Philemon. Look with me at verse 1. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and to our beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The book of Philemon is a letter. It's a letter that Paul wrote to his dearly beloved brother in Christ, Philemon. Now, this letter is a sweet, precious letter of love and forgiveness. This letter is full of the gospel, and like the book of Jonah, it's full of Christ. And as a sinner against God, this blessed little letter gives me great hope. Now, Paul wrote this letter while he was in Rome in prison for preaching the gospel. And it never ceases to amaze me that Paul and other men were persecuted so much for simply preaching the word of God. It's amazing, isn't it? It really makes me consider how easy we have it in our day, honestly. Such a privilege that we have, no matter how much we complain. I know I do a lot, but this is all that matters. We're able to meet and worship our God and freely. What a blessing. Now, Paul used the salutation here in verse 3 similar to the salutation he used in every book he wrote. Every time he wrote to his brethren, he said, "Grace to you."
Yeah.
I love that. I say the same thing. God's grace to you. Peace to you. If we're going to have grace and peace, it's got to come from God.
Amen.
We should be gracious and peaceful to each other and amongst one another, but grace and peace comes from God, and it's in our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the greeting. I pray we always greet one another this way. It's special. Look at verse 4 here. He went on to say, "I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers," and we'd be wise to do the same for one another. He said in verse 5, "Hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints." He didn't say some saints, all saints. "That the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus." Verse 7, "For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother." He said, "Philemon, I want you to know I thank God for you." This sweet book. It's like when he said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, he said, "Brethren, we're bound to give thanks to God always for you." Why? Because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. He said he called you by our gospel. Thank God for you. I say the same thing. You know, we travel here and there, but even if we're just here, you know, Walter, Paul, you thank God for one another, don't you? Thank God. It's special, and it's everything, what God's been pleased to do for us. It's everything. Here, Paul is acknowledging and commending Philemon's love and faith. And I thought about that. If somebody could have one thing to say about me, it's that. If it could be said of me and of you, he or she loves the Lord Jesus Christ and all saints. They have faith in Christ and faith in one another. It's a great commendation for sure. And that's God's command, to believe on Christ, to love him. It says if we don't love him, we're going to be accursed. Cursed when Christ comes. Love him and love one another. That's the commandment. Well, Paul loved Philemon. And he spoke very highly of him. And again, there's a lot we can learn from this. Speak highly of one another. Considerate of one another. He said, "Philemon, you give me great joy." He said, the bowels of the saints are refreshed by you. Oh, what a blessing. I pray that could be said of us. And you know, that's what Christ in us will do. Just like it produces love and humility and produces these things. Great joy in Christ. Joy amongst ourselves. In verse 8, he said, wherefore? He said, I've said all that to say this. Getting into the heart of the message here. Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient, yet for love's sake I rather beseech thee, being such an one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. He just got done commending Philemon's love and faith, and now he tells him, all right, Philemon, I've got something to ask you. I could enforce what I'm going to ask. As God's apostle, I could enforce this. This is truly right and good in the Lord, what I'm going to ask of you. But he said, I'm not going to command this of you. I'm not going to whip you into doing this. He said, I'm going to ask you this. I'm going to beseech you on this for love's sake. And I love that. He had learned as an aged apostle to deal with his brethren and everybody in love. Why? Because that's how God had dealt with him. Oh my. May God help us to do the same, to deal with one another, especially our brethren. He called his brother dearly beloved. May we deal with one another in love, for love's sake, for Christ's sake. That's what he's saying, for Christ's sake. Verse 10, I beseech thee for my son, Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me. Paul's writing to his brother on behalf of this man, this particular man, Onesimus. Who was he? Kind of an odd name, isn't it? Onesimus. Who was this man? He was Philemon's servant, slave, property. He belonged to him. And he ran away from him. Now, we don't know, we're not told exactly what happened. But we know this. Paul said, he was unprofitable to you. I looked up the word unprofitable. The word itself is mentioned several times in the scriptures, but this particular instance is only used one time in all the Bible. And it means this: inefficient, detrimental, useless. He commended Philemon. There's nothing commendable about this man in his flesh, Onesimus. Right. There, and he represents us. Mm-hmm. Inefficient. What are our works going to accomplish? Nothing. Detrimental means he does more harm than good. Yeah. Detrimental to the cause. He's a servant. Well, he ain't no good. He's useless. Absolutely useless. That's what we are in this flesh, right, in God's sight.
Amen.
Utterly useless. Useless. Like Onesimus, we have left our master, God Almighty, the Lord Jesus Christ. We've left him. Wanted nothing to do with him. This whole world wants nothing to do with him. Most of them aren't ashamed to say it. But all of us are that way. We've turned everyone to our own way. All like sheep gone astray. And every single one of us on our own is just like Onesimus, unprofitable. But according to God's word, all of us all together are just that, unprofitable. I heard somebody say 0 + 0 = 0. And you know, anything times 0 is going to be 0, or undefined, whatever they call it. Onesimus is us. He was an unworthy rebel. But I rejoice to tell you, according to God's word, he was a vessel of God's mercy. Paul said, I have begotten him in my bonds. You know what that means? God sent Paul to prison in Rome. I'm sure there were multiple purposes for that, but one purpose for that was because in God's providence, this man Onesimus was going to run away 1,000 miles from Colossae, where he lived, and he was going to wind up at Paul's feet in the prison or hired house where he was, and he was going to hear the gospel. Wasn't in Paul's good providence. Wasn't in Onesimus' good providence. Wasn't in his plan. This was according to God's will and purpose. God led him to Paul. You know, Philemon and Paul obviously had known each other. I'm sure they had worshiped together. And I believe Onesimus was right there with them. Though it didn't appear that he had any interest to be there, he ran away, kind of like Jonah, right? Took off running. But God got him. Amen. God led him to Paul, who by the Spirit of God led him to Christ. And now Paul is writing for him. Thought about the verse we quote so often, Romans 8:28. Going through this life, we get discouraged and things happen and we just get so upset about it. But we know this. Paul said, we know. I could see Paul telling Philemon about what happened here, saying, well, guess who I found? Guess who ran into me? Guess what God did, Philemon? We know all things work together for good, don't we? To them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. We know this. And I'm so thankful that God has revealed that to us. I love what Paul said here. He said, he was in time past unprofitable to you. But he said, but now... He's profitable. It means useful. Meat for the master's use. He's profitable to you and to me. I can't wait to send him back to you. You're going to be so happy. He's going to give you great joy. He's going to return the favor. By God's grace, he's profitable now. And I'm telling you, this is a glorious picture of our Lord Jesus Christ interceding for us. We're Onesimus. Paul represents Christ. Philemon represents God the Father. And he's going to intercede for us right here. Look at verse 10 again. I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me, whom I have sent again. Thou therefore receive him, that is mine own bowels, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. But without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit or thy goodness should not be as it were of necessity, but willingly. Paul's urging Philemon, for love's sake, I'm going to send him back to you. You receive him. You receive him like God received you. He pleads for him as his own bowels, the object of his love and affection. And you know that's exactly how Christ pleads for us. As his own bowels. The one whom he loves. Us unprofitable servants. Unworthy. Rebels. Calls us his own. Said they're mine, says I bought them. Paul tells Philemon, he said, I would have been thrilled to keep him here with me. I'd have kept him with me. But he doesn't belong to me. He belongs to you. He ran away from you. You're the one he wronged. You're the one he sinned against. I've got to send him back to you. Without your mind, without your purpose and your will, your judgment, I can't keep him here. I got to send him back. He needs to be reconciled to you. Amen. Christ said, be ye reconciled to God. That's what God said in his word. And we must. We must be. Peace must be established between us and the God we've sinned against. Reconciliation. You know, it's so sweet when we've been separated from somebody, especially a brother, and then in God's good providence, he brings us back. Brings us back to the place of love and joy and fellowship in Christ. It's so sweet when that happens. It really is. If there's somebody that you're... You know, if there's a situation you're in, like Philemon and Onesimus are in, whether we're Philemon or Onesimus, and I'm telling you, we're always Onesimus. We need to own it. I pray God would help us to be reconciled to one another. And if we've been reconciled to God, then I believe we will be. We should be. He told Philemon, I'm sending him back, and I want you to receive him. But he said, not of necessity. He said, don't receive him because you need to. God doesn't need us.
Right.
Don't receive him because you have to. Don't receive him because he's going to bring great value to you. We add nothing to God. receive him, notice what he said here, willingly. Willingly. Of your own will would you receive him for love's sake, Philemon. That's the only way God's going to receive us. He's sovereign. He doesn't owe us anything. If he owes us anything, it's to send us to hell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All of us.
Yes. Yeah.
On our best day.
Yeah. Yeah.
So receive him willingly, freely. Verse 15, he said, "For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever." Oh my. If there's one verse in this whole text that I want to apply to me, that is it. Departed, far removed from hope in heaven, long the distance that I fell. Oh my. Departed for a season. And if it's up to Onesimus, he'd have stayed there. He'd have stayed departed. He got a long ways off from you, Philemon. He ran away as far as he could go. I'd love to know how he even got there. He said, "But God saved him. And I'm sending him back." He departed for a season. You receive this man, and you receive him forever. He meant what he meant for evil, Philemon. He really did. It's obvious. But God meant it for good. God meant it for good. Verse 16, he said, "Receive him forever, not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, specially to me, but how much more to thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord." Don't you receive him as a servant. I know the world would say, "He's a changed man." Well, by God's grace, he really was. He was a new man. He was a new creature in Christ Jesus. You receive him above a servant. He's your brother now. Don't you receive him in anger, ready to show him a thing or two for what he did to you.
Right.
Not at all. You receive him in love. You receive him. Paul called him his son. You receive him as your son. Receive him that way. Receive him like the prodigal son's father received him. Does that bless your heart when you read about that?
Yeah.
That son was worthless.
Yeah.
I can't think of a more wretched fleshly thing to do than, "Dad, give me what's mine. You give me," first of all, nothing's ours.
Yeah.
An inheritance has nothing to do with us.
Right.
We may inherit debt.
Yeah.
And really, we have, right? Sin. He said, "You give me what's mine, I'm out of here. I don't want you. I want nothing to do with you. I'm going to go out my own way." What'd he do? He wasted it. All of it. God may let us have what we want, but I pray it's just for a season. I pray it's not forever. I pray that we'll depart for a season that he might receive us forever. Receive us in Christ. That prodigal son's father, he saw that son coming back. What did he say? He said, "I'm going to go back to my father." He remembered his father. He said, "I'm going to go back, and I'd be tickled to death just to be one of his hired servants." Did the father receive him like that? Did he put that boy to work? Would he have been right to? He saw that boy afar off, and he took off running. Received him like nothing had ever happened. Paul's saying, Philemon, you receive him like that.
Yeah.
Receive him like that. Verse 17, he said, "If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself." That's strong language.
Yeah.
Literally, receive him exactly like you would receive me. Receive him as one vitally joined to me. What he's saying is, we're inseparable. Even though they hadn't been physically reconciled yet, in Christ, they were already inseparable. We're one in him. Truly. Christ said so. And that's the only way we're going to be received before God, is we must be received as Christ himself. We're not going to get to heaven on our own right. On our own worth, we're going to be there on the right of another.
Amen.
I love in Romans 8, we're told that we're heirs of God. Joint heirs with Christ.
Yeah.
One with Him. And there's another verse that says, as He is, so are we right now in this world. Amazing. Well, how could this be? You know, fleshly speaking, we can kind of see, well, because Philemon loves Paul, he'll take him back. You ever do that? You forgive somebody, you know, because, well, I guess. He's not saying to receive him like that. He is saying receive him as me. You love me? Don't receive him reluctantly. Receive him because you love him. You love me.
Yeah.
How our Lord prayed for us in John 17. Oh my, that how one he says we really are in him. That God has loved us with the same love wherewith he loves him, his only begotten son.
Yeah.
How he said the glory you've given me, I've given them.
Yeah.
Do you see how strong this is? This reconciliation, this union, it couldn't be stronger. Now, I want to show you a couple of things. Look over just a couple of pages, Hebrews chapter 7. How it's not an easy thing for us to be received as Christ. Something great had to take place in order for that to happen. Like I said a minute ago, God's not just going to look over our sin. It's got to be dealt with. Here in Hebrews chapter 7, look at verse 25. It says, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come to God by him, as Christ, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Like Paul's interceding for Onesimus, Christ ever lives to intercede for us. Now look here, verse 26. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. For this made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily as those priests to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins, then for the people's. For this he did once when he offered up himself. How can we be received as Christ himself? Well, he became us. He offered up himself. He didn't have any sins of his own. He offered up himself for the sins of his people. And as a result of that, he became us, we became him. That substitution.
Right.
He took our place. He was made sin. We've been made righteous.
Amen.
The righteousness of God in him. I'll show you another one back a page or two. Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews 2 verse 17 says, wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God. Now look at this. To make reconciliation for the sins of the people. From both these texts, don't you see the importance of something being done about our sins? They've got to be dealt with. They've got to be put away. Otherwise, we can't be received as Christ himself. But because of what he did by himself, we will be received before God as Christ himself. Just like him. One with him. I look back at our text. Philemon, verse 18. Paul said, if he hath wronged thee, or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account. Have we wronged God? Ain't no if about it. All we do is wrong God. It's all we do. It's all I know how to do in this flesh. But Paul said, whatever he's done to you, Philemon, however he's wronged you, whatever he owes you, you put that on my account. I'll answer for him. Don't go to him. Don't go to him for an answer. Don't hold him to pay you back. I'm surety for him. I'll pay it. I'll pay it. If any man sin, again, the if, you know, when any man sin, what's it say? We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. I heard somebody mention that, talking about him, you know, being a lawyer who's never lost one case. His intercession is effectual.
Amen.
He pleads our case. What's he plead? Well, he really didn't mean what he did, Philemon. Oh, he meant it. Well, they really weren't that bad. Let's accept them. They turned over a new leaf. Not at all. He had to condescend to become us.
Amen.
He emptied himself of everything. The Son of God in human flesh, hanging on a cross, letting wicked men stick nails in his hands and feet and a crown of thorns on his head and a spear in his side, mocking him. That's what he did for us to be saved.
Amen.
Praise God, we have an advocate.
Amen.
Praise God. Paul, he intercedes here for Onesimus with a strong intercession, but Christ did what Paul couldn't do. You know, Paul said, "I'll pay whatever you," but that, spiritually speaking, that was impossible. It's a picture. It's a picture. Christ actually bore our sins in his body, and he suffered and died because of them, and he put them away. And right now, truly, we are accepted in him. Verse 19 here, Paul said, "I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will repay it." Our Lord, it says, because he could swear by no greater. What did he do? He swore by himself. He said, "I'll go. I'll take care of this."
Yeah.
I love reading in Isaiah 42. "Behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect in whom my soul delighteth." What's he going to do? He's going to bring forth judgment unto the Gentiles. The isles are going to wait for his law, and he ain't going to fail.
Yeah.
He shall not fail. He's not even going to be discouraged.
Yeah.
He set his face like a flint. He must be about his Father's business. His hour was come, and he opened not his mouth. He finished the work the Father gave him to do, and he did it all by himself. We didn't add to it, and we can't take from it. Paul interceded for this man, Onesimus, by himself. Christ saved us by himself. He intercedes for us by himself. And God said, "Their sins and iniquities will I remember no more." They're gone. All taken away. Verse 19, "I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will repay it. Albeit I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me, even thine own self besides." God had apparently used Paul to preach the gospel to Philemon, by which God saved Philemon. Hence their special relationship. And here he's concluding this letter, reminding him, "Philemon, let me remind you how much you've been forgiven." It's going to make you want to forgive Onesimus. And it does, doesn't it? God's people are the most forgiving people on this earth because we've been forgiven everything. We've been forgiven ourselves. Everything that we are, everything we think, everything we do, God has forgiven us for Christ's sake. And I pray when spats and spits arise, God will help us, as our brother mentioned it before the service, to forgive one another and love one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven us.
Amen.
May God help us. Verse 20, "Yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. Having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say." He's saying, receive him. I know you're going to. And when you do, it's going to make me so happy. I'm going to be overjoyed just knowing you two have been reconciled. You know, there's joy in heaven when that happens. When God's people are brought to a knowledge and love of Jesus Christ. Joy in heaven. Verse 22, "But withal prepare me also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you." He said, if the Lord is willing, I want to come see you. I want to be a part of this when he comes back to you. I want us to sit down and fellowship together. I just can't wait to worship our Lord together, all three of us. Verse 23, he said, "There salute thee Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers." He said, "You send my love. Tell them hello." Verse 25, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. He ends it the way he started it, grace to you. I hope we can talk to each other without offending one another, that we can start and end the conversation with grace to you. We're easily offended, aren't we? It's shameful. This is a sweet book, ain't it?
Yes.
Sweet, sweet book. Now, some of you have heard this before. But if you haven't, notice if your Bible has this, below verse 25, there's a little footnote. And if you have it, look at it with me. It says, written from Rome to Philemon by Onesimus, a servant. Onesimus wrote this as Paul told him what to write. And when God's word, when we realize, it doesn't just say, man's totally depraved, but it says, Cody, you're totally depraved. Cody, you're a worthless servant. You've sinned against God. You've left your master. You forsook him. You crucified him. That's when it becomes mine. Becomes my gospel. Paul was telling him all these things that he had to tell to the master that he had wronged, and Onesimus had to own up to it. I know I wronged you. I know I stole from you. I know I have hated you. That's what it comes down to. He hated him. Wanted nothing to do with you. And I know I'm not worthy to be received back by you. And here Paul makes him write this, puts it in an envelope or whatever they had, sends him back. I didn't even think about that. How to get back to this? It's a long journey. They couldn't hop in a plane. But that's a long journey for that man to have to travel to hand deliver this letter to the one he had wronged. Yeah, this life we live, it's a long journey in one way. Another way, it's very brief. But every day we live, we have to live with ourselves. We have to live acknowledging and knowing and by God's grace being ashamed of what we are. But praise God, Christ intercedes for us. I can just see in my mind Philemon, I hear a knock on the door. Whether he answered the door or whoever opened the door. When they saw Onesimus, can you imagine?
Yeah.
Honestly, I can't. But I like to think if someone yelled, Philemon, come here. Old friend's here to see you. I imagine there were some tears.
Yeah.
I imagine there were some hugs and some kisses of brotherly love. When Paul wrote the things that he did interceding for this man, can you imagine the joy that it gave him? When he said, Philemon, he's your brother. He was just that unprofitable servant. He's profitable now to me and to you. He's here ministering to me in prison. He's my son. That's what he called Timothy. Son. And that's what he called Onesimus. He said, well, I know he's wronged you, but whatever he's done, I'll do it. I'll handle it. I'll deal with it. I'll pay it. I pray we can identify with him. Really. The fact that God would be merciful to any of us, that he would be so kind to send his only begotten son to save any of us is amazing. That's amazing grace. And it's a sweet, sweet sound. Now, I'll show you one more thing here. We'll be done. Look with me here. Colossians chapter 4. This is the only other time Onesimus is mentioned in the Word of God. Colossians 4, verse 7. It's a letter Paul wrote to the brethren at Colossae. He said, all my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your state and comfort your hearts with Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you. There's a footnote at the end of this too, says, written from Rome to the Colossians by Tychicus and Onesimus. Paul's telling them, he's saying, Philemon and all you brethren, this man Onesimus, he's one of you. By God's grace. That wretched, no good sinner, that unprofitable servant, he's a faithful brother in Christ. Christ died for him. He saved him just like he saved you. Just like he saved me. He's one of you. I can't think of, now that I've seen this, there's few verses that give me greater joy. He's one of you. Praise God, he's one of you. By grace alone. By the intercession of Jesus Christ alone. By the life, death, resurrection, and ascension of Christ alone. He's one of you. Thank God for Jesus Christ. Thank God for the intercession of Christ for sinners. I pray that we can refer to ourselves as Onesimus, that we can find ourselves like him, as one of God's people, one of God's dearly beloved people, for Christ's sake. Amen. It's been good to be with you. Pray, Lord, bless his word.